Red Radio in the afternoon. Dave and Fionnuala with you. Let me show you what I've been practicing. Were you silence? No, ruined it. Let me try again. No. God, how did she just take that out of her back pocket? It was amazing. Were you silent? Or were you silenced? Oh, glorious.
What a powerful question.
You watched it.
I did. It was actually the perfect viewing experience. And I say this with no disrespect to my housemates, but neither of them had any interest. So I had sitting room to myself. And I was able to savour and absorb all of it.
Yeah.
Without any interruptions. Like, it's nearly overwhelming how much there is to unpick and analyse and dissect from what we heard. Obviously, it was always going to be portraying Harry and Meghan in a certain way, given that it was their side of the story. So you have to be conscious of that. But I do think Oprah challenged them at certain points, pressed them on certain issues. There were some they were willing to open up about, some they weren't. I actually have, you know, I took down some notes on my phone because I was like, I won't remember half the stuff. And then that's before you even get to all the unseen stuff that CBS then shared after the interview.
Yeah,
you know?
I have a clip for you about Meghan speaking about her father.
Right, okay.
And the betrayal and him working with the media. So I'll bring that to you. But your notes.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think this is early on when they were going over the whole this story where there was the accusation that Meghan had made Kate Middleton cry before the wedding. And she said, no, that was not the case. It was actually the reverse. But she was at pains to point out that Kate had apologised. There was a sincere apology from Kate and she didn't hold that against her. And I think it's just really interesting because for decades, but particularly more recently, you see that really weird desire of some sections of the media to pit two women in similar situations against each other. I personally don't get it. And one of the examples that always stood out to me, actually, and it's a world removed from royal family, but you remember when there'd be two female judges on, like, The X Factor?
Yeah.
Or Britain's Got Talent? They'd be like, oh, well, Danny Minogue and Sharon Osbourne hate each other. Oh, I can't stand it. And it's a really... And every year they'd come up and be like, look, no, they've just decided that because we're two women in a similar position that they want to pit us against each other. So there was the element of that. And then really, I suppose, I kind of took note of how much we can't understand about how a family like that operates. Like, we can appreciate and empathise with relationships getting strained.
Yeah.
And difficulties arising and falling out over things. And I think it was really sad, particularly when Harry spoke about the quite strained relationship, I suppose, that's there with his father, Prince Charles, at this stage. But, like, we can have never any concept of how a family that is a business, that is a machine that has been there for so long, actually operates. And that's why some stuff that was said, I was like, sorry, what? Like, what? It's just, it's really strange and it's very hard to wrap your head around it. And then, of course, I mean, the racist commentary that, you know, is just so upsetting that it's there. And I think actually in one of the clips that wasn't aired in the original interview, but I just saw it after, Meghan acknowledged that, you know, Kate didn't have the easiest time of it with the press either, with some of the terminology that was used about her, some of the stories that were written. But she said something that's very powerful and true. She said, and I'm sorry, paraphrasing here, but she said, rudeness and racism are not the same.
Yeah.
So many thoughts. Sorry, I've really just thrown words at you there, but it was like, there comes a point where, you know, people say, oh, well, they wanted privacy. And why are they doing an interview like this? And yeah, you can have that viewpoint. But I think when they've gone through the years of taking every piece of crap that was thrown at them and not really having that defence.
Yeah.
Personally, I would say it's understandable that they decided to speak out now.
We all enjoy our privacy. But imagine this. Someone was baiting you into a corner with everything they had. And you're like, no, I have to be private here. And then they kick you again and they punch you again and they smack you again. How long are you going to take it? How long are you going to hold on to your privacy for until you go, this is enough. People need to know my side of the story. And that's what they've done. Also, to those who were shouting over the past few days, who cares? Who cares about this interview? It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace RTE are spending the licence money on this, the royalists, with your tricolours on your Twitter bios. 750,000 people sat down of a Monday night in March to watch that interview. A bargain for RTE. More people watched this last night than the All-Ireland Hurling Final. So, to those who say, who cares? A lot of people do. Your thoughts, though. If you did watch it, maybe you're irked up now. Feel like a bit of a Piers Morgan arsehole here. Going, ooh, who cares? 087-1-102-107. Gripping stuff.
Yeah, and with so much more, like as you said yesterday, there were over 3 hours of an interview that was condensed into what actually made it to air. And just to go back to the privacy thing very quickly, because again, it was something that Oprah Winfrey talked about in her post-airing interview with CBS, would have been yesterday morning in the States. The difference between privacy and intrusion. So like they had people, you know, intruding on their lives and they wanted to be able to not have that, but be able to share some things about their lives and their experiences on their terms. And I don't know, maybe you think that's unreasonable, but that is as it may be.
Yeah, just because you share something on Facebook or social media or share parts of your life doesn't mean you're inviting camera men into your house and to peek through your windows. There's a massive difference. Some viewership figures for you in from across the world. 725,000 last night was the viewing figure on RT2, with more watching it on the player and, of course, watching it over the next few days, possibly over the next couple of weeks. In the US, when it aired on Sunday night, 17 million viewers for Harry, Meghan and Oprah interview. Last night on ITV television in the UK, I was listening and flicking through UK radio stations last night. And you know what they were doing?
What were they doing?
They were waiting until the very moment the interview was finished on ITV television and hopping straight into it. They were kicking callers off the show if they were on while the interview was still playing.
Okay.
And they were like, no, come back later, come back later. And then they opened the floodgates. 12 million last night. Between 11 and 12 million watching it in the UK on ITV television last night. There'll be more watching on the ITV hub. It crashed last night, and of course people will be watching it today. But those are the viewership figures from around the world. 17 million in America, 12 million in the UK, and around 725,000 here last night, with more figures to be added from the player and more figures to watch it over the next couple of weeks.
I know you want to bring a clip to our attention.
I do.
Might I just come very quickly to a text that's come in, because I think it represents a lot of people's feelings on what this is.
Yeah.
They say, hi, I didn't watch the Meghan and Harry interview. My opinion is that there are two millionaires chatting to a billionaire about being oppressed. They don't know the meaning of it. Meghan is an actress, for goodness sake. Her actual job is to pretend to be something or somebody she isn't. And I think that's probably representative of a lot of the commentary that's online. One thing though, that look, thank you for your text and for sharing your opinion. But I might invite you to consider that, yeah, money makes a lot of things easier.
Yeah.
There's no arguing that. But if you're in a position where you don't feel safe, as they said about, you know, they had worries about security. If you've got the world's media scrutinizing your every move, if you've got actual lies being printed about you, it's very easy to say, oh, but your money, you're rich, it's grand. I don't personally think that money protects against that level of criticism and insults and racism. So it just may be something to consider that, yeah, money in this case does not protect from everything.
Yeah, I get where they're coming from. And their first sentence is absolutely correct. It is two millionaires talking to a billionaire about being oppressed. That sentence itself is correct. But why they had to do it, that's where it kind of gets lost. If you are to win the Euro Millions tomorrow, or tonight actually, and say if it's 100 million, and then someone becomes racist towards you and there's headlines, just think about that for a minute. You know, you've got 100 million. Do you accept the abuse and the vitriol that is shown towards you just because you now have 100 million, you're a millionaire? Or do you question, where is this coming from? Why is this coming towards me? Would there be some racism in it? Would there be some of the British tabloids and the British press being absolute arseholes again? It's not like they don't have form. But I'll bring you the clip as she was speaking about her father. So what happened, that was one of the big Google questions. You know, why did they fall out? They didn't have the greatest relationship beforehand. Then Meghan Markle's father spoke about her, revealed some details before the wedding. And this is a clip you didn't get to see last night.
There was such an obsession about anything in my world, including tracking down my parents. And I did everything I could to protect both of them in that media frenzy. But for over a year, the UK tabloids were trying to find my dad, offering people so much money to try to find his address. Once they did, I remember being told there was a huge headline like, we found him, or we've got him. You're talking about someone's father. And from that point, the tabloids, they moved into the apartment next door and across from him, descended on this small town, were just giving him gifts. The whole thing brings us to where we are today.
It's quite odd. She wasn't fully defending him, but she understood how much pressure was upon him. Someone moves in beside you and they're throwing money at you. They're like, here, oh, we'll give you anything you want if you give us what we want. And that's a sustained, unrelenting campaign. So she understands to a point, my father was under serious pressure. They were throwing money at him. I'm sorry that he broke, but I still can't fully forgive him yet or get in contact with him because you still did betray me. I understand the pressures you were under. I understand why you done that, but you still done it. So.
And very important point that she said as well, that the story that broke the week before the wedding in terms of the dad kind of working with tabloids in inverted commas, that was scheduled to be released at the point where it would cause the most drama,
yeah,
and the most controversy. So I think that's a very salient point to recognise as well, in terms of how certain sections of the media were treating them, even at that time before the wedding, that type of thing was happening to cause the most drama.
If anyone has come across anyone doing full commentary on the two-hour interview, please send it on, because that's what I found was lacking last night. There was no Eamon Dunphy or John Giles or commentary team to dissect it afterwards. If RT News had said, we're going to put our top people on this and we're going to dissect the interview afterwards, I would have watched it. I would have paid for it on pay-per-view. I was that invested last night. So if anyone has seen any YouTuber or anyone similar doing something like that, rolling commentary, I'll invest in it.
Can we also get a shout-out for the, quite frankly, spectacular memes that were created around the interview? Because, my God, the creativity, some of them are gas.
I'd like to know what would happen in popular culture that wouldn't be memed. I don't think we've seen it just yet.
iRadio in the afternoon.
With Dave and Tallulah. Hey!
iRadio in the afternoon.
With Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 on iRadio. iRadio.